Hey everybody, welcome back to the Spark Show DFS podcast. I'm your host, Sparky Lee. This is the first time I've done this since the PGA Championship, and it's been quite a while. I wish I could have done this more. I wish I could have done it for the US Open. But there was a little problem that came up that I should have seen coming, but I didn't. Every year I have my golf league on Tuesday nights that starts up in the summer. And I usually start my research on Sunday nights, where I'm, you know, getting the new stats, getting the new course history, throwing in the new results from the tournament as it ends on Sunday night. And then I do most of my research and actual writing on Monday night, and then Tuesday I finish it, and then I would go into the podcast from there. But Tuesday nights I can't do that anymore because I have the league nights on Tuesdays. But since it's the 4th of July, we do not have it this week, so I am back, and I'm happy to be back. I was kind of pissed I couldn't do this, because it was kind of fun for me, but first we'll go over the Rocket Mortgage results. I was down there Friday and Saturday. It was the first time I've ever been to a PGA event. I've been close to pulling the trigger on a few of them. But I'm kind of glad I waited and went to this one that was in my own backyard pretty much, because I'm from Michigan, so to have the event in Detroit and have that be the first one that I've ever been to is pretty special. Friday I ended up getting a free ticket because I went to the PGA's website and I tried to get credentialed because of my articles and whatnot, and I knew that was a long shot and I knew it wasn't going to come through really, but I got an email back and they said they'd give me a free ticket even though they were booked up and they couldn't get me credentialed. Guy said, you know, I'll give you a free ticket for whatever day you want. And then I was debating on going either Sunday or Friday because I already bought a ticket for Saturday, and I ended up pulling the trigger for Friday just because there wasn't very many big names, and I'm glad I did this because DJ missed the cut, Woodland missed the cut, so I actually got to see them Friday, and then Saturday I got to see the weekend, which is a little busier, and both days were pretty fun. Let's see, nothing too crazy happened. I can't really say how well they did the event compared to other PGA events, because that was the first one I've been to, but from what it looked like, it was pretty well set up, and it was kind of cool that it was just a birdie fest, and I think they have it down there for the next 3 years or so, so it can kind of make a name for itself with, I think they had quite a few people there compared to what they do on PGA events, so it's like a bigger event. It's kind of got, you know, the stadium feel of the Phoenix Open, where there's the whole back nine is 14, even like, I think it was number 10, 14 though, 15 was completely stadiumed on the one side anyways, in the back. 16 had seating, 17 and 18 had bleachers and stuff. It was pretty cool, but then you could go to the front nine and it was a little more open and easier to move around. So you kind of had the best of both worlds there, whichever way you wanted to go about it. But Saturday was pretty cool. The only, like, the biggest group there was Ricky and Kisner. And when they teed off early in the afternoon on number one, we went over there to watch. And the entire hole, both sides from tee to green, was completely circled with people watching. So that was pretty cool. I'd never witnessed anything like that. There was quite a few more people on Saturday than there was Friday, which is what you'd kind of expect. But Nate Lashley ended up pulling out the win at 25 under. And I'm pissed too, because I saw he was a late add, and I had already done my research, my write-up, and all my betting, all my DFS lineups. And I love Lashley. If I want to look back and see all the tournaments he's been in and see how many times I've put him in the write-up, and it's got to be at least 50% of the time, because he was like the Taylor Gooch, the Corey Connors, just really good ball striker, and they were never really priced very high, so you knew if they put it all together one week they could win, and Lashley ended up winning. And I didn't bet him for anything, first round leader or anything like that, and I usually do, which would have won me I'm sure he, if he was in any books, he would have been like 150 to 1, 250 to 1, somewhere in that range. But even if, I don't, I'm not even sure he was such a late ad. I'm not sure the books even had him. But I'm pissed because I bet him so much and then he ends up winning in my own freaking, my own turf. But, I mean, good to see him win after that, what he's been through in his life, and then to battle back and then have a win on the PGA Tour. That's good for him. And, you know, hopefully he keeps playing well moving forward. But that's it for the Rocket Mortgage. I will now kind of go into the tournament coming up this week. We got the 3M Open in Minnesota, just above Minneapolis. It's in Blaine, Minnesota at TPC Twin Cities. It will play as a par 71, 7,400 yards, just over that. It was designed by Arnold Palmer with help from Tom Lehman, and he's Tom Lehman, I'm not sure, but he's actually golfing in this too, and he's like 60 years old, so that's pretty cool. It was the host of the 3M Championship. This is the 3M Open now, but the 3M Championship was on the Senior Tour, and it was played from 2001 to 2008 there. So there's not any course history with most of these guys here. The greens are bent grass. They're pretty, like last week at the Detroit Golf Club, it was pretty hilly on the greens. This week they're going to be really flat, and I think they're going to run about the same, probably pretty quick, 12.5 on the stimp meter. Between that and 12, I want to say, is what I've heard. There's water in play on most of the holes. I think it's like 10 of the holes at least have water that you can hit into, but the landing zones are pretty big. So most of the guys, if you're just hitting your drives like you should hit them, you're probably not going to find the water, but you can if they get a little stray on you. But even the old guys would come here and shoot like 18, 20 under to win it, I think. So, but they did move it back and make it a par 71 from a par 72. So it's going to play a little bit harder, but these guys obviously hit it farther. So the scoring should be pretty low still. The wind doesn't look like it's going to be crazy, but it can pick up. And then if the wind does pick up, then you're going to find more balls in the water here. But as of now, it doesn't look like it's going to be very windy. Some of the holes have, you know, one or two tiny little bunkers on it, and some of them have just nasty, gnarly, big bunkers, and all around the green and where you're going to be hitting your tee shots into. So it's kind of a little bit of a mix with the bunkers. The key stats that I'm looking at this week: birdie or better, bogey avoidance, strokes gained tee to green, and then with an emphasis of off the tee, just because you're going to need to keep it away from the water more. Green in regulation, par 5, and par 4 scoring. So pretty basic there. Pretty much the same stuff I was looking at last week. The field is 156 golfers. It's, you know, kind of a weaker field like we had last week, but there is some big names in it. Going to end up being a scoring fest, and I think you're going to see some random names like you did last week up at the top of the leaderboard that you're not really used to. Just like you saw at the Rocket Mortgage, you know, Nate Lashley won. People are going to be going, just coming off of that, you know, I'm going stars and scrubs, and I'm going to find the next guy that's, you know, 6,800 or 7,100 that's going to win this, or top five. So I think that's going to be the main play for everybody here this week, is just stars and scrubs. So I kind of open up my window for when I usually pick my categories. I got big dogs, values, and sleepers. Usually the big dogs start at 9,000, but this week I'm going to go to 8,500 just so I can like reach a little bit down further in the price range that I don't usually delve into too much. But I think it's going to be valuable this week to find some good depth. But that's it for the course and the field and everything. I'll move into my picks next. First up, we got the big dogs. Like I said, 8,500 and up. My first cash play is going to be Brooks Koepka at 11,900. And last week I wrote about DJ, and he was the top price golfer as being just a safe pick. And so it's kind of, I think some people are going to feel burned by that, because I think a lot of people had DJ. and a lot of people will not want to take the top dog this week. So Brooks Koepka could end up being a decent GPP play if his ownership dips. But Koepka's ninth in strokes gained tee to green, and that's with him being 64th in strokes gained around the green. So that means his driver and his irons have been carrying that. And that's the mold I'm looking for this week, is guys that are good off the tee, pretty decent into the green, just so they can avoid the water, get to the green, and then they're going to have big greens that don't move too much and roll pretty true. So you just want guys that are going to have a lot of birdie attempts, and that's all you can really ask for here, is that they can just kind of figure out these greens. And, you know, no matter what, if they got a long putt, they got a short putt, at least they're getting to the green and having a look at scoring. So Koepka is my first cash play there. And then the guy that he was the highest, I think, ownership-wise last week, and he's probably going to be right up there again because a lot of people might pivot off of Brooks, but Hideki Matsuyama at 11,100 is my second cash play. You know, he's just been quietly chugging along. He's not really getting top fives and contending for a win, but he was tied for 13th last week at the Rocket Mortgage. He's one of the very best on tour right now at getting from the tee to the green. His putting's been a little bit off, but like I said, with these greens, you know, maybe it kind of negates bad putting a little bit, and then that would make him even better here. But I assume his ownership is going to be pretty high, so I like him for cash plays again this week. My last cash play up here is Kevin Streelman at 8,900. When you look at his stats across the board, he's like a watered-down version of Hideki, and he's got great recent form. He was only tied for 35th last week, but he did shoot plus one in the last round, and he was minus 12 going into that. So, I mean, if he has a really good round, he finishes at, like, you know, 18, 19 under, then you don't see Kevin Streelman at 8,900. You see him at like 96, 9,700 this week in kind of a weak field. So I feel like personally this is a discount for Kevin Streelman when you look at everybody on this board right now. So a lot of people might be on that same boat too and pick him as well. But he is my final cash play. My first of the GPP plays for the big dogs is Jason Day at 10-9. He's not the, I mean, he does hit it far, but he's not the guy that you think of when you're thinking of birdie fest courses. His back has been bugging him, obviously, and he's always kind of flirting with a WD at pretty much, you know, couple times a year. So I think that's going to be weighing in the back of people's minds. It's birdie fest. Jason Day is kind of risky with the WD. He's not exactly the player they'll be looking for, but he's been one of the best drivers this year. He's 10th in strokes gained off the tee. His irons are starting to come around a little bit. And even at the last tournament he was in, was the Travelers Championship, he found 87.5% of the greens in regulation, and his driving accuracy was 78.5%. So if he kind of builds off that, you know, keeps that going, he's going to be a top 10, if not better. And I'm hoping his ownership is going to be lower than what it should be this week. But I think it just being up here in a weak field, his ownership might kind of get up there. But I still really love Jason Day here. My second GPP play is Tony Finau at 9,200. And I think this is the perfect time to strike on Finau, because usually, especially in a weak field, people are going to love to pick him. He scores a lot. You know, he's not necessarily a winner on tour. Like, he's not a guy that you think that has a whole lot of win equity. But he's been playing so poor lately that I think his ownership's going to be about as low as you're ever going to see it. His ball striking hasn't been great. He's missed three straight cuts since the Memorial. And his putting has been bad too. In 4 out of his last 5 tournaments, he's lost like a hefty amount of strokes putting. But there was, in his last 5 tournaments, the one tournament that he didn't lose strokes putting was the Charles Schwab, and he ended up finishing 2nd place. So there's a lot of upside here, and if his ownership is going to be low, he's going to be a great GPP play. My final guy I'm going with in this big dog range is Kevin Na at 8,600. You know, I kind of bounced back a little bit with, I think, Keegan Bradley, Ryan Moore, Phil, and Kevin Na. And I just felt like Kevin Na was probably the best option. He's missed 2 out of his last 3 cuts, though. But he had the win at Charles Schwab in between those 2 missed cuts. So, obviously, he is playing good golf at the moment, just a little sporadic at times. His missed cuts, those 2 missed cuts were at the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship. So, it's kind of easier to forgive those missed cuts because they're at more bigger events, you know, tougher competition, tougher courses. His last 3 finishes at non-majors were 35th, a 10th, and a win. So this is the exact type of field that Kevin Na can go into and dominate. And he's priced right above Phil Mickelson there. So I feel like the name recognition for Phil might suck a little bit of ownership away, even though Phil's golfing real bad at the moment. So I like Kevin Na in this spot. For my value category this week, I am going 7,200 to 8,400 on DraftKings. My first cash play out of this range is going to be Scott Piercy. The first thing I noticed when I was just kind of browsing through it when I got everything updated and into the spreadsheets there was Piercy is getting no respect here. He's at 8,200. Last 6 events, he's only missed 1 cut, and he's got 2 top 5s in that time. It was a 3rd and a 2nd place, and those were the earliest of those 6 events. So it was a little while ago. He had another top 20 in that stretch, but this year he's 16th in green in regulation. He's not losing any sort of strokes on the strokes gain metrics from, you know, tee to green to putting and everything inside of there. He's 50th in strokes gained off the tee, and he's only 121st in driving distance. Usually you'll see guys that are, you know, top 50 in driving distance, and even if their accuracy is not good, they're still going to kill it in strokes gained off the tee. Piercy's doing that with 280-some yards per drive, so that's pretty impressive. I think a lot of people are going to notice that he's underpriced here, and he's going to be pretty highly owned this week. So Scott Piercy is going to be almost strictly a cash play for me. I might use him in GPPs and then just pivot to really low ownership in the other spots just to kind of mix it up and get a unique lineup. But he's my first in this range. The second guy for my cash plays is Peter Malnati. He's been climbing up the board for me recently. He was a risky sleeper pick, I think, 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, 2 weeks in a row now, he's in my solid value plays. So there's really something to say there. He's finished 29th last week at the Rocket Mortgage. So that's now 5 straight events for him where he's been inside of the top 40. And when we were sitting on number 14, the par 5, we were sitting on the left rough right about where every drive was coming in. And he pulled his left and it landed about 15 feet behind where we were sitting, and some lady had, they had 2 little puppies on the course, and she must have been a bigwig or married to somebody there, because you're not getting animals out there, obviously. She was out there with her kid and 2 puppies, and the ball was probably 5 feet from crushing one of these little dogs, and then they took off after that. But we were walking up behind his ball to watch him hit the next shot, and some drunk asshole comes walking by, and the lady that flagged the ball where it landed so Malnati could find it started yelling, "Hey, hey, hey," at this guy, and this drunk dude just walked right past it, kicked the ball, and then he's like, "Oh, my bad," and then he just stood right next to it and then watched him hit the next hole. So Malnati's ball ended up getting kicked a few feet from where it was. Probably gave it a better lie in all honesty, because that was some pretty, it was long, rough, 3.5 inches long or something, but in most of the spots it was kind of thin. So I think that's why you saw a lot of these pros. You could spray it a little bit and the trees were far enough apart where the ball's just sitting up fine and you can hit it clean like you're on the fairway almost. But we were sitting there watching him hit, and he was talking to his caddy, and then he cracked a joke about, I got to lay it up because my accuracy's been terrible right now. And everybody behind, we all started, like, giggling a little bit and looking at each other like, this dude's funny. And then he gets up there, and he said, I'm gonna start it right at the bunker, fade it left a little bit, end up right at the bunker, and just short in front of the green and off to the right of the water. And then he steps up, hits this ball exactly where he was planning to hit it. So, you know, he's been playing real well. He seems like he's loose, and even if he has a bad shot or, you know, a bad hole, he can still kind of joke around and stay positive. So that's always a good sign. And at 7,800 here, I like him again this week, but that just might be my bias. Like the first few weeks, it wasn't a bias with me. It was just strictly off of his performance. But since I've seen him play and, you know, watched him crack jokes, he's become one of my favorite golfers now. So this pick this week might be a little bit biased, but he's in my cash plays as well. The next guy and the last guy of the value cash plays is Dylan Fratelli. He's only losing strokes putting in all the strokes gained metrics there. But this week, like I said, with, you know, Matsuyama, and I'm going to probably hit on this a lot, is these greens are supposed to be easy to read, and they're big and they're flat. So I'm hoping that kind of levels the playing field for everybody. So all these ball strikers that can get to the green that don't really putt that well should have a better chance this week. So I really like Dylan Fratelli this week. He's made 7 out of his last 9 cuts. You know, he hasn't set the world on fire with some of these finishes, but you know, the consistency that he's shown is promising. So if his putter gets hot one of these weeks, which I'm hoping it will this week, he could flirt with a top 10, which would be really cool for him, because I'm not sure he's had a top 10 on tour. If he has, it's been a long while. And now for the GPP plays out of the value category. My first one, and I just feel uneasy with this one, but I'm going to go with it anyways, stick to my guns. Here's Daniel Berger at 8,000. Earlier in the year, he had a second place, and he had another really good finish early on. I think it was 16th place back in February, but he hasn't had a top 20 since. He missed the cut at the Travelers, but right before that, he made 7 straight. So, and he was just kind of flirting in that territory. So, you know, it's a good sign for him to be making all these cuts and kind of competing again. So I don't doubt it's too long before he finds another top 10 or even a win coming up. But the strongest part of his game this year has been his driver. He's 39th in strokes gained off the tee. So with all this water in play, with him playing more and more consistent lately, you know, people don't love him right now. So that's why I kind of like him as a GP play. He's got a good driver and he's been consistent. So if he can stay dry, he's gonna gain strokes on the field with people going into the water. And then if he can put it all together, then we're going to see the Daniel Berger that we saw, you know, a couple years ago. My second GPP play is Lucas Glover at 7,700. He's missed his last 2 cuts. He's only shot 1 round under par in his last 9 rounds. So I think he's just, everybody's thrown him to the side right now, which is perfect, because he's like Tony Finau way down here. He's usually a chalky play, but if everybody's not going to play him, that makes him perfect for GPPs, because he's still 21st in strokes gained total. His worst strokes gained stat is putting, and he's 57th there still. So he's you know, still a very solid all-around player. He's got big wins. So, you know, even if he's struggling, if he's low ownership right now, he is way better than 7,700 in a field like this. He could very easily be, 9,000 plus. So I love Lucas Glover here. My last GPP play is Corey Connors at 7,400. He's like a Keegan Bradley type, Emiliano Grillo type, where he's just one of the best ball strikers on the planet. So for him to play as bad as he does is crazy, but you've seen it earlier this year with his win. When he gets it rolling, he's elite. He's ninth in strokes gained off the tee, 21st in strokes gained approaching the green, first in green in regulation. So if these greens can play easy for everybody, like I've said earlier, and I'm going to say it time and time again, then that levels the playing field for these guys that don't really putt well. And his win was at the Valero Texas Open. He was 20 under, so he's shown that like birdie fests are probably one of his better options for courses, just because his ball striking is so good and he can get those scoring opportunities, especially on a course that has a lot of water. So I really like him this week at TPC Twin Cities. My last group is going to be the sleepers at 7,100 and under. My first cash play is going to be Max Homa at 7,000. He's only missed two of his last 13 cuts, and he's been inside of the top 30 in five of those. And one of those was a win at the Wells Fargo, his first win on tour. But what I really like about him is this course fit that I've got going on, where he's 57th or better in driving distance, strokes gain off the tee, strokes gain approaching the green. So at 7,000, he's a guy that's going to be able to put it out there and get to these greens and just give himself opportunities to score, you know, hopefully avoid the water. But even if he does, he's going to have enough scoring chances to keep himself in it. So with driving accuracy, well, actually his driving accuracy has gotten better over the last seven events. It's not continuously gotten better each event, but it's been, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, but steadily trending up. So with his driving accuracy going up and, you know, his ball striking being that solid and, you know, making 11 out of 13 of his last cuts, Max Homa is, you know, the ideal candidate for a cash play at 7,000. Next guy in this group is Wes Roach. He did miss the cut in one of his last three starts, but the other two starts was an 11th place finish at the Canadian Open and a third place finish last week at the Rocket Mortgage. He's made 12 out of his last 15 over the course of a year, five out of his last six more recently. So at 7,000, he seems like he's playing real good golf lately. And he's, you know, really peaking right now with that 11th place and third place finish. So I really like Wes Roach this week as well. Last guy for the cash plays, not 100% sure how to say his last name, Hank Lebioda. I don't know. 6,900. He missed the cut last week, but he's the mold I'm looking for this week, where he's a tee to green guy. He's probably the best guy tee to green this season, below 7,000. So I'm going to keep rolling the dice with him. He's 39th in green in regulation this season. He's positive in every strokes gain category outside of putting. He's made six out of his last eight cuts and has two top 20s in that time. So I really like him here again this week. Hopefully he doesn't screw me over, but I think he's going to be consistent enough where you could plug him in for cash or even GPP at this point, and he could surprise people. But my GPP plays down in the sleeper category. First one, Michael Thompson, who kind of has just fallen off lately. He's missed three out of his last four cuts, but the one that he did make was a 14th place finish at Memorial. Each of his last six rounds have been under par, so it's kind of starting to trend in the right direction. He missed the cut last week at 2 under, which that was a really easy scoring course, obviously, so it's not the greatest sign there, but at least he didn't like blow it huge. He hasn't been great as of late, but 7,100 for a guy that has eight top 20 finishes and 18 starts this season is pretty cheap, so hopefully we can get on him early and catch him back on an upswing going forward, because I think right now nobody's really thinking about him, nobody's really talking about him, but he does have the potential to get back up there. And like I said with who was it earlier? So he could be 7,100 Michael Thompson earlier in the year. If you asked me what he would be priced in this field, I'd say at least 8,000. So he's one of those guys that's kind of discount for his talent level. Troy Merritt is the next one at 6,900 for my GPP plays. And I've been on him a little bit lately. He has been kind of chalky in weeks past, but I think missing the cut. Let's see, he has two missed cuts and an MDF in his last four events. So I think people are sliding off of him after he's burned them. So 6,900, he's down there in price for his talent level. Just kind of like Thompson there. He has five finishes this year of 23rd or better out of 13 tournaments, and that's not including the Zurich Classic where he was, I think he was 22nd there, but he's 55th in strokes gained tee to green, 28th in birdie or better percentage. So when I just look at it and when I look at the model that I have, he is by far the guy under 7,000 that is most likely to top 10. I keep betting him and he keeps burning me, but I'm going to stay on it. He moved from a cash play to a GPP play, but you know, he's a good enough player where you can roll the dice on him. Here's another last name that I don't really know how to pronounce. Alex Prug. Both of those probably aren't even right, but he's my last GPP play for the sleepers at 6,700. At the US Open, he was 21st. At the Travelers Championship, he was 20th. He missed the cut at the Canadian Open before those two events. And last week at the Rocket Mortgage, he missed the cut as well. In his last 18 rounds, though, he's only shot worse than plus one once. So he's been very consistent lately. He's only 6,700. And the best part about his game right now is his driver. He's 21st in strokes gained off the tee and 36th in driving distance. So just being able to just pipe it over the water, or even in certain spots, he can afford to club down and be accurate into the fairway just to give himself chances to go at the green. I really like him here for 6,700, and I feel like he's one of those names that nobody's really talking about. So with his driver and his consistency as of late, he makes for a pretty good GPP play at 6,700 in a tournament where you're probably going to see a lot of guys, you know, minus or underneath 7,500 that are up at top of the leaderboard. Like, how is this guy even here? Just like you saw last week. But that is it for my sleeper picks. Next up, we got the dark horses. And these are three names that I don't think I've written about any of them this year so far. But I really wanted to dip down and kind of experiment with this tournament, because I think it's going to be a lot like the Rocket Mortgage, where you're going to be just baffled by the names you see. So I wanted to pick three guys that were very low on pricing that could make a little bit of a splash here. My first one is Sean Stefani. He was 35th last week at the Rocket Mortgage, and before that he had made the cut but didn't finish, and then he had two missed cuts before that. But then before that even, he was 13th and 20th at the Wells Fargo and the Byron Nelson. So he's, you know, over the short run and over the long run, he's been pretty close to 50-50 on making cuts. But when he does make cuts, it looks like he does finish pretty well, especially for only 6,600. So he's one guy that I'm looking at way down here that, you know, was only 35th last week, so maybe people aren't going to be picking him too much. But he's one guy that I think could kind of surprise people this week again. My next play for the dark horses is Harris English, a more notable name, so I think he might get picked a decent amount at 6,600, especially because he's made seven cuts in a row. He did have an MDF mixed in there, but his best finish was 20th place at the Canadian Open in that whole stretch. So he's been pretty consistent, but, you know, making cuts, not really finishing too high. His short game is like his around the green stats and his putting stats are much, much better than his driving stats and his approach stats. So that kind of scares you a little bit, and I'm hoping most people see that and go, he's going to end up in the water way too much. He can't save himself with his putting and his chips, so they'll steer clear of him is what I'm hoping. But he's one of those guys that's his talent level in a field like this is obviously way above 6,600. He's been showing signs of consistency lately. So if he can just turn it around and just be good off of the tee, his short game has been so good that Harris English in a field like this could top 10 and people would be like, where did this come from? So I really like Harris way down here at 6,600. I feel like he could really surprise people, or he could just find every freaking pond out there and shoot 10 over. But I think he's been good enough lately where he's not going to do that. My last guy is Josh Teeter. He's been playing pretty good golf down here lately. I don't look at these names much, but he's been playing some good golf, making four straight cuts. His worst round out of his last eight was plus one. So he's managing the blowups pretty well. And I don't know if it's the best golf of his career on tour, but it's certainly the best golf of his season he's coming into right now. His iron work is good. He's 41st in strokes gained approaching the green. And his putter, if you look at his recent putting stats, has been getting better. So if he can miss the water, his irons are good enough and his putting is good enough where he can score a little bit. So Teeter at 6,500 looks pretty intriguing. If he keeps playing well, it wouldn't really surprise me if this is, you know, the beginning of his upturn where you see him sneak into the 7,000s. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he just falls apart and goes back to who he was, you know, a month, 2 months ago. But he's one of those guys that could really surprise people way down here in the dark horses. But that's it for my picks this week. There's been quite a few guys that I've skimmed past that I would usually pick, and I kind of like, you know, Roy Sabatini's been real solid, but he's priced pretty high. You know, Victor Hovland's been playing great, and his driver has been amazing. So, but there's some guys that I just feel like their ownership's too high, and they're peaking, and they're going to be on their way down. Cameron Tringali's a perfect example of, you know, I've been on him the last few weeks, but I feel like everybody's kind of on him now, and he might be one of those guys that's hitting his peak, and I don't want to catch somebody on their downslope while they have all this ownership right now. So there's a few guys that I kind of wanted to write about this week, but I always try and switch it up and you know, pivot off of chalky guys and try and find the next guy that's on his upswing. So that's why the names are a little bit different this week. Jimmy Walker, I feel like, is a guy that could crack into it. Brendan Steele has been awful, but I think he's just starting to hit his upswing. So there's probably a few new names that I'll be writing about the next couple weeks. And hopefully I'll have something good for you for the Open. But this might be my last podcast for the season, at least until my golf league's over. They shortened it this year, so hopefully I'll be able to do some of these for the, you know, FedEx Cup playoffs and stuff. But that would be it for me. At SparkShowDFS is my Twitter handle. SparkShowDFS.wordpress.com is my website where all my articles are. Great week in Detroit last week. You know, 3M kind of getting in a lull here before the Open, but there's value to be had. There's bets to be made that people aren't looking at. Frickin' Nate Lashley burning me. I'll never live that one down. See you guys.